Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I'm Bill Shear. I want to introduce myself. That's enough said. We've spent the last, this is the fifth week on the book of Ephesians. And the book of Ephesians was actually the second writing that Paul gave on doctrine. And it was a doctrinal letter. And it shows the believer sitting together with Christ in heavenly places. And it contains really what I believe to be the highest church truth that is in the Bible. And it's not, it has nothing to do with church order, okay? So, and I think it's the only writing that Paul had that had no correction in it, really. Next week, we begin Romans. Same type thing, which was the first doctrinal letter and it sets the true relation of the believer to Christ in his death, his burial, and the resurrection. And it's going to be powerful. It's going to be multiple weeks. This was a month, and we'll just see. I've kind of laid it out for the end of the year, till the end of the year, and we'll see how long it goes. But open your Bibles to Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and we'll begin at the first verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And listen, this is a big theme for the Word. And you think about it, I know it sounds like Paul is writing to the children, but this is really a message to the parents. That, I mean, we teach our kids, obedience is such a big issue. And really, honestly, our relationship with God is determined by three elements. And the first one starts with obedience. It's obedience, submission, and sacrifice. And we're prepared to sacrifice no matter what. And because just following in the ultimate sacrifice, and here's what's interesting. Jesus died for us, and our responsibility is to live for him. See, and that's the sacrifice that we make. And most of the sacrifice that we make, most of the opposition, most of the persecution we get is social. Most of it is. I mean, they're not dragging preachers out in the street and beating them, but honestly, there's persecution, and most of it's social. And we have to look at that I'm willing. And 43 years ago, I realized I'm going to have to sacrifice my social life for the kingdom. And really, that's where all my sin was. That's where all the degradation of my life, all the error in my life, it boiled down to that. So what I had to do is I had to just kind of pitch my social life over my shoulder and never look back and never turn back. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you. I've got a little competition tonight. That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. People, nobody wants to own up to. So it's in somebody's purse and they're just looking around like, who is that? Verse 4. Everybody say verse 4. And you, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in training and admonition of the Lord. Now stop right there and let's just camp for 1 minute. I want to talk to dads. See, the provoking your kids to wrath isn't poking at them and messing with them. It's being inconsistent. It's their not being. Let me tell you, fathers, you have to be consistent. Your yes has to be yes. Your no has to be no, and you've got to have standards. And you know, honestly, there's so many people that are here that can help you lay out a plan for standards in your life. And standards are just simply where you're going to live, and you're not going to dip below them. And I mean, in raising this, I mean, I thank God that our three grown kids all have standards in their life. And they honor God, they honor Sandy and me, and but us not having standards and us not living, listen, it's like this. Don't provoke your children to wrath is, hey, do what I say, not what I do. See, that doesn't fly. That's provoking them to wrath. See, that's what that is. Now, verse 5. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Bondservant is translated bondservant because slave is too harsh a word. But it could be translated slave. And you know, we look at it now, there's not slavery. There is all over the earth. But here in America, here in Tulsa, they're not. But we can look at that. It's that in verse 5, that people, that this is your employers. This is people that are tasking part of your life. See, that be obedient to those who are your masters in the flesh and in sincerity of heart. Do all things heartily as of unto the Lord. That's how we work. See, that's how we win over the people that we work for, is that we do it heartily as of unto the Lord. And I'll just tell you this. I'm a bondservant to y'all. Or a slave to y'all. And what I have to do is I have to do this heartily as of unto the Lord. Everything I put my hand to prospers. And this is what I put my hand to. So my expectation is you're prospering. And then he says, look, not with eye service as man pleases, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. But do you understand? I mean, we have to pour ourselves out before God as a drink offering. But we're offering ourselves in the sacrifice of faith and the sacrifice of service. And the way I try to keep the way our structure is here at Guts is we invert the org chart, where really you guys are at the top of the org chart. And Sandy and I would be at the bottom of the org chart. And see, and then everything else in between, every department head, every staff person, every elder. But you have to understand here's how I keep things straight in my life, is what Paul said was, Paul said, I'm a debtor to the Greek and to the barbarian alike. And I want you to know that I'm servicing a debt to every family in this church. That's the ambition, that's the vocation, is I'm servicing a debt that I owe you. And no man anything but to love them. And see, so this is the debt. The debt service is to love everybody here. And verse 7, Paul writes, it says, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. See, that's how he flips it. That's how it makes sense. So your employer, man, we're slaves. And we look at it, it's like, well, no, that frees my heart to be a bondservant. See, what a bondservant is, back in that day, that there was a length of time that a slave was indebted to his master. And at the end of that time, sometimes it was 7 years, sometimes it was 10 years. At the end of that time, they were able to make a choice. Do I want to go and be free, or do I want to remain a bond slave? The first term was 7 or 10 years, depending on where. That second, and you're just a servant or a slave. A bond servant or a bond slave is for life. See, so you make a decision, I'm in for life. And You know, it's interesting because, you know, there was an old term in marriage called the seven-year itch. You know, it's like and that there's something that people go through at that point. And I think it comes from that notion that it's like you make a decision, I'm in for life. See, Pastor Sandy and I have made a commitment to each other. And our working definition of a commitment is we've entered a room with no exits. So we're not looking for a way out. See, that's the commitment we make in marriage. That's the commitment I've made in this church. The commitment I've made with God. You know, I told the powers that be in our community that we're never going to shut down. And not because I'm defiant of any mandate or ordinance, but a week after I gave my life to the Lord and I'm sitting in a church that I don't feel like I fit in, that I really wasn't attracted to, that really didn't scratch any itch of mine other than I'm going to church and I'm hearing the word. So you know what? I remember sitting there thinking, you know what, God, I'm committing that I'm going to be here every Sunday. That's it. And then I realized there were, and I was thinking Sunday morning, and then I started going Sunday night, and then I started going Wednesday night, and then I decided, God, I'm going to be there every time the doors open. And that worked for me. When I went to Bible school, there was Bible school till noon, and then at 2 o'clock there was a prayer and healing school. And I thought, I'll go to that too. Rent doesn't go up. So I looked at it, and why? Because I already, that the track of my life was already, I'm going to be there every time the doors open. And see, that kept me safe. That made me healthy. That indoctrinated me into the gospel, into who God is, who Jesus really is in our lives. It gave, listen, that prayer and healing school at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, sometimes it went an hour, sometimes it went 3 hours. I never got prayed for once in 2 years that I went. So nothing was personal for me. But let me tell you what it did. I started hearing, man, I started sensing the Holy Spirit. Oh my gosh. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, this is the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, it was invaluable. So you never know what you're going to pick up in these kind of situations. See, and it's invaluable for me now. And it started, things would go haywire around me. And I'd hear the word where God will provide an avenue of escape, and I'd look for that. Or the Bible says that in those places that we don't know, that's where God is. In everything that we see and everything we try to rationalize and we try to compartmentalize, there's that place we don't see, and that's where God is. And you know what? I remember there'd be a situation, and it'd be like, oh my gosh, it seems like all hell's breaking loose. God, where are you? Because he promised he'd never leave me nor forsake me. God, where are you? And it taught me, into, okay, God, I'm going to look for you. Because if I seek him, what am I going to do? I'm going to find him. See, verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he's a slave or he's free. Do you see the liberty that's in that statement? And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, God, and there is no partiality with him. Finally, my brethren, I love this verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Ephesians 6:10. Memorize that verse. See, what is it? It's fine. Here, I'm trying to figure this out. I'm the employee. I'm the employer. I'm the master. I'm the bond slave. I don't have to figure it out. Finally, above all else, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Everybody repeat that. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Say it again. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. See, that's a game changer for us. See, there's 12 commands for this for believers here, all right? Number one, be strong in the Lord. Number two, be strong in his power. And then we're going to go. Let's go to the next verse, and then we'll go back to this list. The next verse is, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stop. Standing against the devil is not taking it in the teeth. It's not a defensive approach. You're going to see that the whole armor of God only covers the front part of the soldier. The backside of the soldier is not covered, because it's always us facing the enemy, facing pressure, and defeating it. See, it's an offensive. See, we think that armor is defensive, where the enemy came. The only part of this that's defensive is the shield of faith. But here, let's go through the whole thing. So let's go back to verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. Listen, your stand is an offensive stand. It's like, hey, devil, this is my place. I am not moving. Okay, verse 12. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, as much as it seems like it. It must as it feels like it's a political party, or it's the elites, or it's some humanly agenda. It's not. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And see, that stand is offensive. And having done all, to stand. What is our role in everything that we deal with? It's a stand that we take. It's a stand of faith. See, that like people that walk, that we prayed for, I'm just telling you, it's, man, I'm in a place of faith. I've taken a stand of faith no matter what. I'm telling you, every single one of these guys have an opportunity to be delivered from whatever it is they were up here for. Every single one of them. And you know what? Some of you guys might say, well, but, and I'm telling you, what was my new friend's name? Nicholas, especially. Because I'm telling you, that's heinous. Man, I'm telling you, that is not God's design for his life. Period, end of subject. And you'll say, well, but I'll tell you, the sovereignty of God, the sovereign will of God in Nicholas's life is for him to be transformed into the image of Christ. Transformed in the image of Jesus. It's not ailments. It's not disability. It's not whatever that is, and it's not God. All right? Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Do you see where it starts? The whole armor of God starts with what? Truth. And you gird your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. See, and let me tell you, the context, the cross-reference here is, and nothing will by any means harm you. Why? All the fiery darts of the wicked one are quenched because of the shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18. Now, as a matter of fact, let's go to the list. Go back to the list. 12 things for believers out of chapter 6 of Ephesians. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in his power. Put on the whole armor of God. Stand. Gird your waist with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. See, that's how you guard your heart. See, the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. See, we have to look at this, that the breastplate of righteousness is how we guard our heart. So it's not just, I'm going to clear my mind of all the negativity. Yeah, that's an exercise we need to do every multiple times a day, or almost every time we hear bad news or negativity. But the breastplate of righteousness is nothing we deserve or earn. It's actually the medal of valor that Jesus puts on us because he earned it for us. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your prosperity, your peace is in how you walk. If you've got a limp, you've got to Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And this, I get it that some of you guys in where have been in settings where you get up in the morning and you put on the breastplate and you gird your waist with truth, you put on the breastplate of righteousness, and you shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and you put on the helmet of salvation. And let me tell you, it's not the theatrics like that. It's what happens when we immerse ourselves in God's promise. Number 10, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. 11 is we pray in the Spirit. And 12 is this, and here's what's interesting. We watch in prayer. Go back to Ephesians. Because let me tell you, praying in the Spirit and watching in prayer are pivotal keys to victory through this age. Next verse, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Let me tell you, supplication is actually, some of you guys that have been around the church for a long time, old timers would use this phrase that somehow has leaked from how we, our narrative of the doctrine, is that you pray through something. Man, that, you know what, if there's something that ails you, like if you leave here, what's that boy's name again, Nicholas? If you leave here tonight and God puts him on your heart, man, I'd go in the backyard on the porch or something, or and just begin to pray and say, God, I'm going to pray till I pray through this. I mean, we have to be a praying church like this. Why'd you see what you saw? Why did you hear what you heard? And people, I mean, there might be people that walked up here and you noticed it, and then you can't shake it. It sticks in your craw. It's like, that happens to me a lot. I'll tell you that I saw that one boy that's blind that came to church here for a long time. I ran into him. I'm sorry? Yeah, I hugged him. Man, he's like, oh, Pastor Bill, what's going on? I'm like, man, the chicks still dig you? And he's like, yeah. But, man, I prayed for him every day since then. Man, there's people, my personal, this isn't, I've got a list. There's an account in heaven that I'm going to stand before God and make account for people. Some of them are outlaw bikers. Some of them are athletes. Some of them are business people, politicians, people I've met. That just, some of them, I'm telling you, I just looked around, so I'm not going to make eye contact, but some of them are some of your extended family that I've known in the community for years that I can't shake. So what do? Man, man, every time I think about them, I pause and I'll touch base with them and I'll pray for them. But praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit, you pray in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And that's one of the points that I pull from that account. And for me, that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul's saying, look, remember me, because, man, I'm putting together messages. His messages mapped our doctrine. It's overwhelming to me. Man, I sense a little bit of the pressure of helping people with how they think just in what I preach. You think about him, his messages were canonized and have carried through hundreds of generations. Verse 21, but that you also may know my affairs and how I'm doing, my beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord will make all things known to you, whom I've sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with the faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. You know, the great blessings, and I'm going to close with this, of the whole armor of God is, number one, the ability to stand against all enemies. The ability to withstand all attacks. And the ability to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. So you look at that, it's like, wait a second. I'm not going through this without the weaponry, not going through this. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but mighty unto God for the pulling down of strongholds. See, that's the deal with the enemy. What he's trying to do is he's trying to build strongholds in your life that hold you captive. And you know what? To me, I personally cross-reference the gates of hell with those strongholds. They keep me from my appointment with God. See, what's amazing about God is he lets us feel like we picked him. Like, I honestly think I picked God and gave him my life. But what Jesus says is, you didn't pick me. I'm like, he said, I picked you. And then he said, and appointed you. See, why do you think the devil is so distraught about you sitting on the front row and taking notes and listening to the word being preached? Because he knows there's an appointment on your life. And you know, I'll be real honest with you. And you guys can be praying, we're starting a school of ministry. It's not a Bible school. It's a school of ministry. It's navigating the nuances of ministry. It's hearing the voice of God and not questioning. Like, it's absurd. It's absurd if I'd call Taylor and say, hey, Taylor, and he goes, is that you, Dad? It's like, here, you've heard my voice for 36 years. But see, so many Christians are like, I think I heard God's voice. It's like, are we really there? Because you understand, you're not, this is going to sound judgmental, and I don't mean it to. You're not at square one if you don't hear God's voice. What are we doing if we're not hearing God? And then, for moving past that, the plan God has for our lives. If we don't hear his voice, how are we ever going to be assured that we're living his plan? See, I know I'm living God's plan because I hear God's voice. And so much of this is that there are steps that God calls us to take, and then there's steps along the way that God just backs our play because he promised that everything we put our hand to prospers. I mean, you think, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. It's like, oh my gosh. So we're gonna build a school of ministry in this church because the world needs apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers that look like you. And yeah, people are gonna come from around the country and maybe across the globe. But let me tell you something. That's like, my heart is here. It's you. It's hearing God's voice. It's being able to build a strategy. Listen, for reaching people. And then a plan for people to be able to live their lives. And then we could task out those plans where it's like, oh my gosh, this has become so easy and none of it's ethereal. Do you understand? Nothing I do is ethereal. It's amazing because I'm an abstract thinker and I'm an abstract communicator, and I know you guys are saying no duh, but even with that, I'm telling you, the strategy in this church is black and white. It is absolutely, it's so clear, even I can't miss it. And that's going to filter through everything. Raising our kids. Preparing our kids for school. Man, listen. Eradicating fear from any equation of our life. You feeling me? See, that's what the school of ministry is. Because so much of ministry that I see, and I'm not subjected to as much maybe as some of you guys on social media and the internet, but so much of ministry is just, fear is laced in so much of the narrative. Do you understand that when we're in the flesh, the gospel is totally offensive? But man, we get in the spirit. What does the Bible say? The Bible says to the unbeliever, it's a stumbling block. To the believer, it's the cornerstone. Man, what do we have to do? We got to make believers. And then, let me tell you, the next step is people that trust God, because there's a difference between believing and faith. The devil believes. We have faith. We trust God. Well, we got through Ephesians. God, we love you and we praise you. God, we thank you for who you are and what you're about. God, I thank you that something tonight impacted everyone here, everyone watching on the internet, something. And God, we cling to that impact. I'll just tell you, it's the will of God for you to come into your own. It's the will of God for you to hit your stride. It's the will of God for you to get in the left lane and get out in front. And let me just help you. This church will help you not to look back. No one that's been raised up in this church is going to bring up your past ever. God's mercies are new every morning. God gives us fresh starts and beginnings every single day. But I've made mistakes. Hey, no one here is going to bring that up. You know why? God doesn't. So if you're here tonight and your life's not right with God, maybe you've been a Christian, but you haven't been living for God. Man, we could turn that around. I'm going to pray. And the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Wins big. And I'm going to ask you to pray with me. And listen, understand that the effectual fervent prayer. See, people that say, well, prayer changes things. It's like, yeah, it's got to be effectual and fervent. Effectual is we're praying God's word. Fervent is we believe it with all of our heart. So praying God's promise, believing in our heart, avails much. And here's the effectual fervent prayer, listen, of a righteous man. That's not a sinless man. It's a righteous man that we're hidden in Christ now. See, when we pray effectual fervent prayers to demons and angels alike, it sounds like God and carries that authority. You with me? Let's all pray. Father God, I give you my life. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I'm trusting you, God. I'm not trusting what I see. I'm not trusting how I feel. I'm trusting every word that comes out of your mouth, God. God, I am your kid. I hear your voice. Another voice I won't follow. God, I hear your voice clearly and distinctly. And God, I thank you now that I'm not living in the weeds. I'm on the path of righteousness, the highway of holiness. Sin can't travel with me. God, I'm forgiven. God, I'm set free because Jesus is Lord of my life. Now, God, I ask you to fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for the unknown tongue that comes out of my mouth, that emanates from my spirit. And God, I thank you in Jesus' name that there's salvation on my lips, there's healing in my hands, and as I go, I preach.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.